Save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust 5-in-1 Spray Paint lets you choose from five unique spray patterns with a twist of the dial. Use it on a wide range of wood or metal projects for long-lasting results. Choose from over 50 color options available now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolocumab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Tourist tax for hotels in the capital is being strongly opposed by the hotel industry and by rural TDs after a report released yesterday shows that if introduced, the tax could bring in as much as €12 million a year for Dublin. I'm joined on the line by Michael Healy-Ray, independent TD for Kerry, and in the studio by Paul Gallagher, the general manager of Buswell's Hotel, right opposite Leinster House. Good morning to you both. Before I talk to you, though, here is Dahi Doolan, Sinn Féin councillor for Ballyfermot Drimna, speaking on News Talk Breakfast this morning.
I think it's an excellent proposal. I think it's worth exploring. So I think it's now coming to realisation that it is one way of identifying an independent stream of funding that the city badly needs. We need this funding for essential services, community services, for recreational services, for maintenance issues, all these issues we need the money for. But I certainly don't think we should be dictated by any rural TDs. We can't allow that to dictate policy in Dublin, nor should it be holding the residents of Dublin to hostage because they simply are against a hotel tax. We see the hotel industry continues to build hotels in Dublin. There's several dozen planning applications for hotels in Dublin. That wouldn't happen unless they believed that their industry was vibrant. It's a taxation on people who choose to come to Dublin on holidays, as we have been taxed when we go to America and other cities as well. And I wouldn't be critical of that when I go to America or to Europe.
That's Dahi Doolan, Sinn Féin councillor for Ballyfermot Drimna. Michael Healy-Ray, you're the rural TD he's referring to, who might be wanting to dictate to the people of Dublin what they do in the capital.
Well, first of all, Pat, good morning to you and to your listeners. And I certainly wouldn't want to dictate anything to anybody, but I would like to state common sense. Now, at a time when the average daily rate for a room in Dublin is €171, I think that's costly enough. But I want to draw another comparison in the cost of your visit to the city versus your visit to, for example, our county, County Kerry. Now, I want to name a pub in County Kerry, and I want to state the price of alcohol in that pub.
Now, it's not in Kilgarvan, is it?
No, oh God, no, it's not. It's an excellent public house in a place called Kilmacalogue, which is back on the way to Castletown Bear, below in Lark, Kilmacalogue. It's a beautiful location, and it's a place called Helen's Bar. Now, on the 29th of June 2022, a pint of Guinness was €3.90 inside in that public house. A pint of Bulmers was €4.60. On the same day, the 13th of April 2022, and now I won't name the place in Dublin because I don't think that would be nice, a pint of Guinness was €6.80 and a pint of Heineken was €7.70. The average price of a pint of Guinness in Temple Bar, again, I do know the names of the places, but I won't say them because that wouldn't be polite, but a pint is €7 to €8. So in Helen's Bar in Kilmacalogue, a pint is €3.90, and in Temple Bar, it's between €7 and €8. Now, food is very expensive in Dublin, and as I've stated already, you're paying enough for a hotel room. Now, if county councillors above in Dublin or anybody else, thinks that they can squeeze more out of the people going to visit the city, I think they're wrong. I think that it is a case of killing the goose that lays the golden egg. Because whether it's going up to an All-Ireland, whether it's going to concerts, and remember, it's our city. It doesn't belong to the people of Dublin. It belongs to the people of the rest of the country as well. But we don't want to be overcharged for the privilege of staying there, because it's costly enough to get there. It's costing double now what it used to cost before on diesel and petrol. If people are commuting even in public transport, that's more expensive than it was before. So people, if it's a family going to Dublin, if it's going to the zoo, if it's going to a match, if it's going to see our galleries, and again, which we're very glad to avail of those excellent services, and the people who work in those services, we thank them for their work. But I think putting a tax, another tax, does anybody think at some stage that people are going to say, my goodness, we're taxed to death, we're sick of taxes?
Okay, and so Michael, just to tease this out a bit, I mean, if the average is €171 for a bed night in a Dublin hotel, add 1% onto that, it becomes €172.71. The difference of 1% is probably not going to be a deterrent one way or the other to the foreign tourists coming in. And the country cousins will probably not want to spend 171 on a hotel bed anyway. They'll probably try to stay with their city cousins rather than spend that kind of loot, or else go home the same night.
But you see, I suppose, Pat, what you must look at is the bigger picture and the total take. They're looking to squeeze €12 million out of their visitors, whether it's us coming from the country or whether it's the people coming from abroad. Now, I would say to the people in the local authority and to the other people, try to raise the money somewhere else, but don't go after the person who is ultimately your customer. Every person who runs a business, you know that you have to be seen, and people have to feel that they're getting value for money. Now, if you're paying between €7 and €8 for a pint of Guinness in Dublin, and below in Kilmacalogue, you're paying €3.90. Well, surely be to God, there's something wrong there. It's the same pint of Guinness. It has the lovely same creamy head on the top of it. And whether it's the top, the middle or the bottom, it tastes the same as when it's double the price above in Dublin.
Yeah. So there, but of course, the hoteliers in Dublin and the bar owners will say, we pay enormous rates to Dublin City Council. We pay not alone the regular rate, we pay a water rate as well. We pay for our rubbish to be disposed of very expensively by, you know, third-party contractors and so on and so forth. They'll say the cost of doing business in Dublin is a lot higher. We have to pay higher wages because our staff are paying for accommodation, etc., etc., etc. And they'll say that will explain, at least in part, the difference in the price of the pint in rural Kerry versus the centre of the capital. That's what they'll say.
Well, last night, and it was a snowy night, it was my night in Dingle in that area doing my clinics. And the people who run the public houses and the hotels and the guest houses back there will tell me they have very expensive costs as well. One public house I was inside in last night, his ESB bill now is €1,500 every 4 weeks. In a very short length of time, it'll be nearly €500 per week. And this is a small country pub. There was 3 or 4 customers inside there last night. And you can imagine that person has to try and balance their book. So whether you're in Ownascall, or whether you're in Ballinabuck, or whether you're in Ballymun, or wherever you are, your costs are pro rata, very expensive, and the same, if you know what I mean by that.
Sure.
So, to be honest, I don't agree with that argument, but I just think that they're squeezing and squeezing, and they'll make the city unattractive. And I wouldn't like to see that happen, because I want to see Dublin be vibrant. I want to see it be successful. I want to see the businesses there get on. But at the end of the day, you have to give a thing called value for money, and don't kill the golden goose.
Now, by the way, Michael, 1%, as I mentioned, is not going to amount on an individual basis for one bed night, whether you're in an Airbnb. And of course, they'd have to pay this tax as well, one presumes, as well as the hotels. But the suspicion would be, like in Barcelona, that having introduced the tax, it would creep up.
But of course it would, and I saw those reports about Madrid and all these places, and I certainly wouldn't like to see us here in Ireland basing what we do in the future on Madrid or Barcelona or anywhere else. And one thing that you mentioned there was our Airbnbs. I'm very supportive of the Airbnb industry, be it in Dublin or in Kerry, but we have geniuses in Dáil Éireann who seem to think that Airbnbs and short-term lets are the worst thing in the world, and they think they're going to magically convert 12,000 bed nights from being short-term lets to being long-term lets. And if they only knew the truth, what they're going to do is they're going to compound the housing crisis a lot more, because they're going to close down those Airbnbs. Those people aren't automatically going to say, all right, well, you know, we'll go into long-term now because politicians are telling us to do it. Politicians can't force people in business into changing what they do and make them do something else. But we have geniuses in the Dáil who seem to think that they can do that, but they learn a hard lesson in this, in interfering in the housing market in the way they're doing so, because they're interfering in people who are paying their taxes, providing an excellent service, they're doing nothing wrong, and they're being driven out of it.
I'll leave you with one comment from a listener. I hope Michael accepts that Kerry belongs to us too, just as the capital belongs to the people of Kerry.
100%, and could I please say to that person, in the name of holy God, any time you're coming down the road, we'll put out the red carpet. Sure, we wouldn't exist if it wasn't for the people who are kind enough, yourself included, Pat, who see fit to come to the capital tourism of the Western world. So you're all very welcome.
Thank you very much, Michael, and I really enjoy my frequent enough visits to Kerry, I have to say. Michael Healy-Ray, Independent TD for Kerry. Paul Gallagher, General Manager of Buswells, is with me in studio. Paul, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
Now, is this a hare they've set off running, but which may never get anywhere?
Yeah, I think this comes around every few years. It's like a county councillor's boomerang inside in the chambers in Dublin. It's an echo chamber. They keep thinking that a room tax is the answer to their problems, that a room tax would actually clean up O'Connell Street, it would remove all the rubbish, it would change the way people behave, it would remove antisocial behaviour.
Well, one of the texters says the hotel tax should be used to offset the effects of tourism on Dublin City. It should be also applied countrywide for the same purpose. I mean, if you thought they were going to add tourist amenities with this tax, would it change your attitude to it?
Yeah, but the effect of tourism is actually positive. It creates employment and creates tax. So currently 23 cents in every euro that a tourist spends goes back to the state as tax. So of 7.5 billion in turnover in tourism last year, 2 billion goes back to the state in tax. You know, tourists don't use and abuse. Tourists don't have antisocial behaviour problems. Tourists don't litter O'Connell Street. It is entirely a problem for Dublin City Council that they've let the street go to the way it is. You contrast Grafton Street and O'Connell Street, and they are poles apart. They could be different cities. And the reason is that the variety and style of all of the outlets on O'Connell Street is detrimental to the way the street is maintained. It is predominantly a food area. It is not a retail area to the same extent as Grafton Street is.
You mean a fast food area particularly? There are some restaurants,
there
obviously.
There are some restaurants, but you just look at the way that street is being used, and it's not been used correctly. And I think it's time that Dublin City Council actually got up and did something about it, because a tourist tax is not going to fix it. So 12 million more next year if they had a tourist tax, we would be here in a year's time talking about how bad O'Connell Street is yet again.
The argument might be made that given there is a campaign, including by the minister herself, Catherine Martin, to keep the 9% rate of VAT for tourism, that, you know, another 1% dedicated to Dublin City Council would be OK if you keep the 9%.
Yeah, look, 9% is the right rate for hospitality, and right across Europe it's the right rate. If a tax is equitable, people will pay it. If it's only one person who's paying it, and that is the tourist in a hotel room, why are tourist attractions not paying it? Libraries, shops, retail, restaurants, pubs, theatres, cinemas, you name it, the whole variety.
Well, in New York, for example, there is a city tax as well as you pay your federal tax, but you pay a city tax on all your purchases.
You do, and that is much fairer. And the thing that's fair about that is that tax is added onto the price you pay. So in Ireland, we're precluded at the moment from separating out tax from the overall cost of a hotel room. And by the way, 171 is not the achieved rate in Dublin. That is 1 month's rate, so it's not that high. If a tax was put on us, that we didn't have to include inside the rate, it is probably more digestible. Yeah. But it should be across all of the...
Now, we've talked about, the price gouging, as it's called, at some times of the year when there are events on and so on. And we'll see Paddy's Day coming up and we'll get really high prices for the city. So do you think that the hotels themselves have made themselves an easy target because of the very visible price gouging in the capital that happened?
There is no evidence on any media channel that supports the concept or notion of price gouging. I've been on the radio a number of times on this issue. The achieved rate in Dublin, I have it in front of me, in August 22, was €182.35.
That was an average, I presume.
Yeah, and we had 86% occupancy. In Rome was 180, Amsterdam was 153, 209 in London, €242 in Edinburgh. The concept and thought out there that we are gouging is based on anecdotal evidence.
But isn't it based on specific events? When people go on, they look for, when Garth Brooks is in town or whatever, they look for maybe a last minute room or a room within 3 weeks of the event, and the prices they're asked for are...
Yes,
astronomical.
Some of those prices are astronomical, just the way in airlines, ticket price goes up if you want to go to Twickenham for the rugby match. I mean, it's not an unusual thing as for this sort of dynamic pricing, but the pretense that we are all gouging is just absolute nonsense. It has never been proved, and I have data to prove otherwise. But you see, it doesn't make for good entertainment. And you're right, prices will rise when business levels rise. That is a normal function of an economy. However, we offer great rates all year, and there are some peak nights where it is more expensive.
Yeah. Now, you pay your rates, and you pay a huge amount of rates, I'm sure, for Buswell's Hotel. But there are pubs which are paying probably the same amount of rates per square metre, and yet the price of the pint might be a lot higher in some of them than in others. So people will be thinking, maybe, 1%, who'd care? Because the kind of value for money that is perceived is not great in some of these places. So another 1%.
Yeah, I don't buy into Michael Healy Ray's analysis of the price of pints in Dublin. There's prices all over Dublin that vary all over Dublin. I don't charge anything like those prices he was mentioning. It's not the 1%, it's the way the 1% will go. So 1% now, county councils will be back in 3 years' time going, we want 4%, 5%, because you know what? They didn't bloody fix O'Connell Street. It is still the same shambles it is right now. We pay currently, Dublin Hotels, €31 million a year to Dublin City Council.
€31 million
a year to Dublin City Council. So, the question is, why is the city manager not in front of you now, or some of these councillors who'd like to explain how they spend that €31 million? Are they getting value for that €31 million? And I'm going to tell you, if Dublin City was privatised, they wouldn't need any more money, because private sector will do a better job.
Why do they not get it right then, in your view?
Because there's no one with an overall control of all of the different moving parts within the city. It's quite clear. Other cities do this quite well. They privatise a lot of the output that they require in order to get the city into shape.
I'll give you an example.
They would have Lord Mayors that would be independently elected.
And who would have real power.
We have Hazel Chu in the paper saying a room tax is a great idea. When she was Lord Mayor, she didn't say that. This is just sort of a boomerang stuff again.
Yeah. The one example, though, of privatisation that certainly has not worked has been the privatisation of refuse collection. When it was part of the service offered by Dublin City Council or Dublin Corporation at the time, you didn't get people trying to dump their rubbish without paying because it was part of the service. You privatise it and suddenly people are out to dodge and therefore pollute the city.
Yeah, I think that's possibly true as well. I mean, Dublin City Council and all the three boroughs of Dublin have on an annual basis the opportunity to waive a percentage of their local authority charges to residential customers. And they do so around 15% every year, and that keeps the residential customers happy, as I am and you are. But if they were really short of money, why is Dublin City Council not increasing that discount, so reducing the amount they're giving to those residential customers in order to make the city a more attractive place? If O'Connell Street was sorted out, the customers would have better footfall on that street, would drive more revenue, and it would be self-fulfilling.
But in truth, it's also a lot more than simply about refuse and dirt and litter. It's about drug use, drug abuse, drug trading in the middle of the capital and so on, and a level of intimidation that people feel unsafe.
Yes, it is. And I think, you know, there's been a lot of calls about the presence of guards on duty. There really aren't sufficient numbers of guards on duty in Dublin City Centre on a Sunday or Saturday evening. They're really stretched. And I have to say, you know, if you go to London or New York, it is just so visible. You just cannot help but notice the level of policing that goes on. I'm not saying that there aren't guards on duty, but the visible policing isn't just there in front of you like it is elsewhere.
Paul, thank you very much for joining us. Paul Gallagher, General Manager of Buswell's Hotel in the heart of the capital, opposed to any notion of a 1% or greater tourism tax.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Saving money on your next outdoor project at Menards. Easily transport mulch, stone, and other materials with the Masterforce heavy-duty steel wheelbarrow. Maneuver over any terrain with a 16-inch tire that never goes flat. Saving money on this and all other Masterforce tools exclusively at Menards. Visit us in-store and at Menards.com and see all the great deals going on now in our weekly flyer.
Save big.